This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on St. Patrick's Day, Monday, March 17th. Good afternoon and happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The fast fashion retailer Forever 21 files for bankruptcy again, this time closing all U.S. stores amid fierce competition from Shein and Temu. Joining us to explain is Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And Forever 21, at least as far as I was concerned, you know, seemed like one of those shopping mall stalwarts. It had been there forever, and it seemed like a type of business where it was always refreshing itself to stay with current trends and be into whatever the kids were into at any given time in its existence. But it seems like online competition really did a number on them.
There's a lot of things that did it with them. I mean, they were the pioneer in fast fashion. So, you know, unfortunately, the pioneers were the ones that got the arrows. So, you know, at some point you say, don't do what they did. They overexpanded too much. They really didn't consider online as anything they really had to deal with. And when they weren't looking, online retailers came and cleaned their clocks twice.
Now, is there value in the name or value in the retail footprint? I mean, they were unsuccessful in finding a buyer to rescue them from bankruptcy. And they got down the road with 30 or so out of 200 suitors. Does this mean that someone could go back and re-engage with them and at least find some value in the name?
Oh, my goodness. We're seeing that over and over again from Toys R Us and other brands that suddenly are back at it. But what they don't have is the baggage and all the institutional knowledge. And so I would imagine that you will see a version of this, but I can't see it again in a physical store. I think there's other people that are doing a better job. And that's the other problem, that you really can't. The only way that business makes money is having high volume. So if you don't have people coming in every week to find something different and new and that they really love, then the market doesn't work. The numbers don't work. But also, it's different because Forever 21 was really a millennial brand. And Gen Z doesn't like the idea of having unsustainable clothes that are disposable. That's like the worst thing you could do. So for a lot of reasons, I think the right choice was to say, let's just close the stores. And if there is another game to play, well, someone will figure it out. But that'll probably only be online.
Now, you talk about how this was a fast fashion store. I mean, I know what a Forever 21 looks like, and I think other people can have an image in their head. But what is the dictionary definition of fast fashion?
Oh, my goodness. I'm on the spot with that one, Rob. I think the idea is that
you know it when you see it, I suppose. That's the answer.
You see it on social media, and within a week, you can buy it. That's really what the algorithms are serving up. There's very sophisticated algorithms going through TikTok and Instagram, and they are seeing what young stylists are putting together, and then they manufactured and you can buy it too. So you don't have to necessarily be creative. You just have to be able to be quick to the store with it. And, you know, this is a challenge for design houses too, right? Because when those runway fashions come down, suddenly looks like them are coming out within weeks versus months. And so everybody's trying to play that game, but it appears that trying to play that game at the lowest cost to the consumer is definitely not a winning strategy.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us to talk about the demise of Forever 21 as they file for bankruptcy. You can find him online at retaildoc.com. Coming up next, a preview of the busy week ahead on Wall Street.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's shaping up to be a busy week on Wall Street, including retail sales and housing starts, plus a key Fed policy setting meeting midweek. Joining us with the preview is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets and Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, economic futurist at andrewbush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thank you for joining us today. And let's dive into that retail sales report for the month of February, up 0.2%, but that was below analyst expectations. And it seems like, Andy, that the retail sales report is lining up with some other figures gauging the health of the consumer in recent days.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of consumer sentiment surveys that are out that are worrying people. Business surveys on sentiment, you know, are worrying people because they're all turning negative dramatically. And so this retail sales number, you know, obviously last month was revised down to 1.2%. This is only up 0.2%. So it's not good, but like ex autos, it hit right on the number, plus 0.3%. And it doesn't indicate that we're going to go into a recession anytime soon, but it does show slowing growth. And that's what people are worried on top of all of the tariffs and all of the chaos coming out of Washington, D.C.
And then we do have a Fed meeting and an interest rate decision coming up on Wednesday. Obviously, if the Fed were going to either cut interest rates or hike them, it would have been telegraphed by now through kind of their official house organ at the Wall Street Journal. So probably they're going to stand pat once again. But I would imagine all eyes and ears will be on Chairman Powell's news conference afterwards and his forward-looking guidance.
Well, you laid it all out, that's for sure. I think today's retail sales number, if that had come in negative as well, you might have got the market starting to believe that the Fed would cut this week. But no, they are not giving any indication. But that's not what the markets are looking for. What the markets are looking for is saying, what is the Fed going to say about the economy? And number two, what are they going to say about all the turmoil coming from Washington, D.C., especially on policy and tariffs? Because, yes, that does feed through to inflation. So that's really where we're at. The market's priced in and out probably 4 rate cuts, you know, to what's going on this year. I think they're currently about 2.5 right now, what they're expecting. And that's going to change depending on what the Powell looks at. But he's in a difficult spot. And this is what I want people to remember. Like if he comes out hawkish at all tomorrow and saying we really need to wait to see what goes on in Washington, D.C., you can bet there's a fight coming with President Trump over cutting interest rates, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And that'll create a lot of uncertainty for the markets as well. So, you know, we're getting some stability from Friday to today. Maybe, you know, no comments on trade and tariffs until the big decision on April 2nd with reciprocal tariffs. You know, once we have some clarity on that, maybe the markets can settle down.
It's also a very difficult environment to navigate for Chairman Powell, for someone who has said at every step of the way in the fight against inflation going back to October of 21, we are going to be data dependent the entire time. If the numbers tell us it's time to cut, or if the numbers tell us it's time to hike, we're going to make a decision based on that. And you have this environment of uncertainty based on a president who's very much a showman, and he makes a big show of negotiating and makes a big show of driving a hard bargain. And if you are trying to make a decision based on data, what can you do when you don't have the data, but you have lots of razzle dazzle?
Well, you have to incorporate it into your models as an X factor, right? Because you don't know. And this is part of the problem with businesses. They don't know their cost of materials or their cost of inputs. let's say you're running a construction firm. Do you know what the cost of lumber is? No. Do you know what the cost of cement is? Maybe. So that's really where everybody's going to sit back and go, I'm not sure I can bid on that job. And so with Powell, look, this is a group that totally blew it on inflation. I mean, they made massive mistakes that injected inflation into the U.S. economy because they didn't raise rates fast enough in anticipation of what was coming. And so to me, for them to say they're data dependent, I think that's really weakness on their part as far as their capabilities of modeling this, but also really taking a step back and looking at a global macro kind of picture of this instead of saying, oh, we're data dependent. You really have to look at the pieces of the puzzle as they're fitting together. You know, are we going to have continued inflation? Well, then you should not cut interest rates anytime soon. You know, unemployment's at 4, inflation's at 3, growth, we're not quite sure what it's going to be right now because of the negative numbers that we're seeing. So there's a lot of reasons for the Fed to sit on their hands right now and to be cautious about inflation because they blew it the first time.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, deciding the best way to maximize Social Security, claim early or wait. We'll discuss it coming up next.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Part of everyone's long-term retirement plan is deciding when to take Social Security. Many encourage waiting, but claiming it earlier might make more sense for some. Joining us to talk about it is Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor of VestGen Wealth Partners, Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online, getretiredstayretired.com. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And if you were born in 1967, that means you saw The Empire Strikes Back when you may have been in 7th or 8th grade. You are now eligible to start collecting Social Security because you can do so at the age of 62. But there's a method to how you can really just maximize your Social Security benefits. And Craig, that really depends on when you start electing to take those benefits.
And it's such an incredibly personal decision. Do we take our Social Security early as 62? Do we take it on time, which, as you said, for anyone born 1960 or later is 67? Or do we delay until 70? And it's going to depend on the uniqueness of each peer person's health, their outlook for their personal retirement plan, and a whole lot of other factors in between.
Yeah, actually, I had some bad math there. It's 1963, but still, if you were a teenager in the 80s, it's kind of crazy that we're having the Social Security discussion. But as you mentioned, when you take that Social Security benefit, the size of your check is, you know, it does impact the size of your check. And then there's some strategy involved. I mean, if you take the benefit earlier, the check is smaller, but you could potentially invest it and do more with it. Or you can wait until you're 70 and take the bigger amount.
Rob, let's break it down easy for all of our listeners on the Noon Business Hour. If you take your benefit early, it'll be reduced by as much as 30%, but that makes sense because you're getting paid less money, but for longer. Also, if you take it early at the age of 62, thou shall not earn from employment income more than $23,400, or the Social Security is going to take $1 for every $2 away from that. Maybe you simply wait until full retirement age, in this case, the age of 67, because you can make as much money as you want without being subject to an earnings test. Or as you hinted to, there is an incentive. It's called a delayed retirement credit worth 8% per year for those who wait until 70. So what's the bottom line, Rob? Whether you take it early, take it on time, or take it delayed, the payments are about the same up until your 81st or 82nd birthday. But for every month you live past that 81st or 82nd birthday, taking it on time was better than early, and taking it delayed was certainly better than taking it on time or early.
Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor, VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. The website, getretiredstayretired.com. Still ahead, social media is fueling a surge in Guinness sales, driving the beer's growing popularity.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Preparations will be made tonight with the last phase of the Kennedy Expressway construction set to begin tomorrow. In spite of a judge's order, a Lebanese doctor with a specialty occupation visa allowing her to be in the U.S. was deported to Lebanon. As the Noon Business Hour continues, an analyst will look at how social media is giving sales of Guinness a big boost. Plus, it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of investment ideas from a money pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is up 310 points. The NASDAQ is down 4. S&P 500 up 25. We have 43 degrees right now in Chicago at 1231. Topping our news at the half hour, the third and final phase of the Kennedy Expressway construction project begins on the outbound side of the expressway tomorrow. Closures will be put into place at 9 o'clock tonight with at least two of the local outbound lanes being shut down at a time. While motorists will be expecting longer commutes, Dr. Ivan Vega, or driver Ivan Vega, told CBS News Chicago he has his own concern.
I can't be mad at that. I hit a lot of potholes and got my tires messed up.
The express lanes in the Kennedy will only be open on the outbound side during the construction. Anyone heading from downtown to O'Hare will need to stay in the local lanes because the exit for the express lanes at Addison will be closed for about 4 months with the express lanes, and the express lanes will take drivers onto the Edens. IDOT says there will be various ramp and lane closures overnight from Ohio to Montrose. A Rhode Island doctor who's also an assistant professor at Brown University's medical school was deported to Lebanon despite a judge's order.
A federal judge in Boston canceled a planned hearing today regarding the removal of 34-year-old Dr. Rasha Alawi from the country after two of her attorneys withdrew from the case. She holds an H-1B visa to work at Brown University but was detained at Logan Airport in Boston last week after flying back from Lebanon to see family, according to a lawsuit. The judge barred her removal from Massachusetts, but Customs and Border Protection says the order was only received after she was flown out of the U.S. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. The markets are moving upward now. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management, and Fox News business contributor based in Orlando, Florida. Find him online at GaryK.com. Gary, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the that retail sales report for the month of February, which was up by, but not by as much as analysts were predicting, isn't doing much to derail the markets today.
Yeah, the number was not very good, but I'm pretty sure
The market in the last few weeks had telegraphed the numbers to come. And I think on Friday, the average stock that has been absolutely clunked over the last few weeks put in a low, and we're continuing up today. And it would be better if the mega cap tech was doing better, but the mega cap tech is just pretty much most of them down for the count right now.
And how can we explain what's happening? You know, we have it looks like we have a rally today. We had one to end last week, coming off some pretty steep sell-offs. Was this simply a lot of investors going bargain hunting where they were available?
It's just a market that got very stretched, extended, and oversold to the downside. That, you know, they're going to bounce it every now and then. And the big question is it the low? I don't think we'll know. I think we'll need a couple more cards come out of the deck. But today, throughout the whole day, the advanced declines in the average stock has been much better than the indices, and it's starting to pick up a little bit better as the day works on. And just as I said, the average stock has just been hit very hard. You know, there's a talk that the S&P was down 10% at the lows, but I can tell you the semiconductors in the 20s, the retails in the 20s, many stocks down 30, 40%. So this is normal right now, and let's hope it sticks.
Now, something you have said numerous times on this program over the last couple of years is that regardless of what has been going on with interest rates, what has been going on with inflation, that the consumer has been the engine that has powered this economy. And if retail sales are starting to slow down, what does that say about the health of this particular engine?
Well, they have slowed down, and the worst stocks in the market over the last 3 months have been retail stocks. I mean, some of them are down 50% from the high. So it is something that has to be addressed. Hopefully, we're at the bottom of the numbers that are coming out, and we're going to turn back up. But right now, you're seeing consumer confidence, some of these consumer numbers, and I'm just getting little factoids in from people that I know in their business that it's a slowdown. And when you hear from Amazon and Walmart and the airlines and Costco that the consumer has issues, it's something that has to be watched very closely, because if we really lose the consumer, there's your economy.
If the consumer is pulling back, and yet the employment numbers still point to a solid but nowhere near as hot employment market we had a couple of years ago, if employers are still hiring and people are still working and the consumer is pulling back, what picture does that paint?
Well, look, you don't need a hot consumer to keep the economy going, but you said it best. You just need a job market that's in shape. And even though it's definitely slowed down some, and I think a lot of that's going to be government going forward, I think the job market is still in good stead. And I've been saying for 3 years, as long as the job market stays in shape, I think we're going to be okay. And the best way I can put it is so far, so good, with a little bit of weakness recently. And we're going to have to watch these government numbers going forward, because they're doing a job there.
Gary Kulpbaum, President Kulpbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. Find him online at GaryK.com. Coming up next, Guinness having a viral moment, and that's driving sales.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Social media, including TikTok and Instagram, is driving Guinness sales in Chicago and across the country as the 200-year-old beer is having its viral moment. Joining us with the details is R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. R.J., thank you for joining us today. And I don't know if it's something about today, March 17th, R.J., that is really driving sales of the Irish beer Guinness. Is it St. Patrick's Day, or can we thank TikTok for giving Guinness a viral moment?
I think St. Patrick's Day certainly has a part in it, but absolutely we're seeing this trend towards the viral marketing, social media helping to drive sales for Guinness as well. I don't know about you, but if you went to any grocery store over the weekend, it was impossible to find Guinness. So I think their marketing campaign has been exceptional here. It's called the Splitting the G campaign, where a lot of celebrities and other influencers are attempting to get the Split the G on a pint of Guinness. on the branded cups. I think that's certainly helping. But it's just the latest in one of these viral marketing type campaigns that we've seen be very successful, whether it be Chili's 3 for Me or some of the McDonald's campaigns that we've talked about in the past. It's always fun to see these things take life.
So this splitting the G, was this something that just happened organically on social media, or was this the effort of 2025's Don Draper and Pete Campbell as a company marketing effort?
I suspect it was probably a little bit of both. Probably had some life organically early on, but certainly this is one of those trends that marketers are definitely jumping on when they see and fully embracing and taking to the masses. So I think it was probably a little bit of both here.
You know, Guinness has been around for 200 years. And of course, if you go to Dublin, Ireland as a tourist, you have to take a picture of you and your family at the gates of the brewery. They also have the brew pub in Chicago that has been consistently popular ever since it opened. So it seems like this viral trend, this TikTok trend, had a lot of dry powder from which to draw to really kind of supercharge the awareness and consumption of Guinness.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the brand itself is exceptionally strong. Had a lot more marketing campaigns, traditional marketing campaigns in the U.S. too. And you're exactly right. Our foot traffic data, we've looked at the Open Gate Brewery here in Chicago, and it's been consistently strong since it opened up. Curious to see what the data looks like for this past weekend. We'll know about that in a couple of days. But I think it'll continue to be exceptionally strong. So a little bit of not only just traditional marketing, but also physical presence as well. I think having some of these locations and destinations go to certainly helps out and can help spread the word about the brand as well.
Is it also a sign, though, of changing consumer taste? Because not too long ago, we were talking about how a lot of craft breweries were having a hard time making a go of it coming out of the COVID-19 shutdowns. And maybe it was just simply a matter of oversaturation, that people do like beer, but they just don't want that curl-your-hair IPA. Maybe they want something a little smoother, maybe one with an ABV in the fours as opposed to one that's approaching 10.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a little bit of that too. I mean, I think certainly we've seen trends, and we've got a lot of foot traffic data to support this. Towards healthier, better for your lifestyles. It seems like that trend pops up about this time every year, but it does seem like it has legs this year. We do see increased visits to fitness locations and increased visits to natural and organic grocers, so things like that. And so I think if we kind of correlate the two, I think you're absolutely right. I think that perhaps behavior within this category is also changing. People looking for different things here. And, it is cyclical. We do see these things kind of ebb and flow. We had our craft brew period. We've had other subcategories, gain popularity within this as well. So I think this is just the latest in that cyclicality. But it does feel like at least it has a little bit of room to run with it here, at least in the near term.
But I would imagine, RJ, even as we speak, the executive suites at advertising agencies and breweries, maybe they're just doing some conference room testing on the next big viral video sensation that will launch their brand.
I'm guessing you're right on, Rob. I suspect you're absolutely right there.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, it's Stock Picker Monday. A money pro will join us with a pair of investment ideas.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We welcome in Pat Morrow, President Patrick Morrow Investment Advisor in Oak Brook, Illinois. Pat, thank you for joining us today. And it is especially timely that we bring you in on the Noon Business Hour today, because you are the first stock picker on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. And it was Sherman Kaplan who pointed out on Facebook a couple of days ago that we had just passed the anniversary of the Noon Business Hour. The show began on March 12th, 2001, and it was a very exciting day because the NASDAQ sold off big time that day. There was kind of a market sell-off. And just to go as to show you you, Pat, how things have changed a little bit since 2001 in the past 24 years. On that day, the day of the first noon business hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 436 points. That was 4.1% of its value at the time. Today, the Dow is up 375 points, and that's barely 1%. So I guess the lesson, Pat, is that you never really lose money in the market as long as you stay in for a long time.
Well, long-term investing is our style, so I will vouch for that.
So we have two selections today, and your first one is an ETF.
The exchange-traded fund, a total international stock fund, it basically has over 4,000 company shares outside of the United States. So one of the goals investors should have is to be diversified. And one way to diversify outside of the mostly U.S. Portfolio, U.S. stock portfolio, is to own this particular ETF. It has done reasonably well and is, has a very low management fee of 0.07%. And it's up about 6% this year, and S&P is down about 5%. So that gives you an idea of why we recommend this.
And before we go on to the next one, and that was the exchange-traded fund, is that an innovation that came to be in the past 24 years since that first noon business hour, or has the ETF been around for a while?
Oh, no. This is a more modern development. Actually, what happens is it's not a fixed number of shares. It's the shares every day change based on supply and demand of investors. So right now, the best guess is there's about $40 billion invested in IXUS. So it's a large portfolio. But it goes with the one of the main reasons you might want to own this is because the dollar has been weak this year. And traditionally, we have a strong dollar. And now we're witnessing a weaker dollar. So this has the not only do you get diversified, but you're hedging against a weaker dollar.
And your next selection is a tried and true name in pharma.
You know, Pfizer has been around 176 years. It was founded in the borough of Brooklyn. It is now headquartered in the borough of Manhattan. And so they have proven the staying power is their calling card. And it is a huge company. When I note that their sales this year are, per the company, is they're looking about $64 billion worth of sales. I mean, that means, you know, every 12 months you'd have to generate, I mean, just a mind-boggling amount of revenue. And to do that, you have to have the product. And this Pfizer is sold out. The company's been knocked down because of misinformation and the COVID rage and all the rest of it. But just in the fourth quarter, that just was reported, their COVID sales actually rose and beat Wall Street's expectations, which just goes to show you that you can be wrong about lots of things. But Pfizer is well diversified in drugs, especially in the cancer oncology field. They're doing very well.
Pat Morrow, President Patrick Morrow Investment Advisor in Oak Brook. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. He was the first Stock Picker Monday guest way back in 2001. His selections, the iShares Core MSCI Total International Stock ETF, the symbol IXUS, and Pfizer PFE.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.